All right, so again, we dealt last time with how can we state the relevance of these texts to those who practice same-sex sin, and we've said same-sex sins are included in the category of the sexually immoral, and that is very important, that alone. Then second, what can be said about the narrow meaning for those men who practice homosexuality? Two words that are combined in the ESV there, the word for effeminate male and the word for male sex. A, on effeminate male, in Paul's day it was common for some men to even dress like women as part of same-sex sex. However, its connotation is sufficiently broad and inclusive of any who function to any extent in the woman's role sexually. It may simply be a reference to one of the partners, the one that replaces the female, and it is a variation of homosexual sin with accent on the replacement role. We dealt a lot more with that last time. You can look at the notes. Now, for the second word, which sometimes is just translated homosexual, we have effeminate and then homosexual, but then actually both, so both are homosexual. It's literally the word male bed. Could literally be translated. This is hyper-literal. It has the word, it's one word, and it has the word bed as part of the word. So I'll just try to explain that to you a little bit. Well. Bed is the marriage bed. Thus, marital intimacy or its defilement may be referred to by the word bed. And sometimes it's used in a negative sense and other times in a positive sense, like we saw in Hebrews 13. The context here indicates sin. And it is sin as defilement of the marriage bed. But what is the sin precisely? The options are male who has sex as a prostitute or fornicator, or a male who has sex with a male, a homosexual. And I just want to lay these out with a basic pro-gay author in mind and then the answer. A male prostitute on this reading: consenting adult homosexual relationships, especially those that are not excessive, like having multiple partners, that are not oppressive, like with minors, gang rape, or sexual abuse of slaves, all in a homosexual context. Those, all the gay community would say, or at least the gay exegetes of Scripture would say, those are all sins, those are wrong. But they're not in... let's see. The consenting homosexual relationships are not in view and not condemned by Paul. Those things are what are condemned. Things that are not excessive, not oppressive. Are not in view, not condemned by Paul. So they want to translate this male prostitution. It could be, but it's not necessarily homosexual. So some want to just reduce that to what you would just say here for this second word. Instead of saying men who practice homosexuality, you would just say men who are male prostitutes would be one of the ways of answering that. The basis for this reading: the word in question is a compound. It has the word, now I'm going to go into that a little bit again, it has the word male attached to the word bed. It's one big word. If you want to see the Greek word, it's down there in under 2a, meaning of. You see the Greek word there. The first part is the word male. The last part, you can even hear it, koitai, koitus. You can hear that's the word bed. And then the first part is the word male. It's put together, one word. All right, now, the basis for the reading male prostitute. The word in question is a compound, male bed or male bedder, because bed is circumlocution for sexual intimacy, and the second part has a verbal function in this noun. This is a noun, but it has a verbal function. So writers like Boswell, an extremely influential pro-gay exegete, takes the first part, male, as the subject, the one who does the bedding, and thus a man who commits sexual immorality with men or women, and thus simply a male prostitute. Now, the other reading is homosexual. And let me give two reasons why that's the better reading. That's the way we should understand the text. First, the grammatical construction indicates homosexual. With regard to the way Boswell, and you may have to ask about this if it's anything unclear, the way that he reads the grammar or the construction, I don't know if it's the best way to say grammatical construction, but it's this construction of the compound. There is no evidence from biblical or extra-biblical sources for this kind of grammatical construction in which the first part of the compound is the subject of the verbal idea of the second part. Extant examples have the first part as the object of the verbal idea. And this is an article, very important article, by Wright, Homosexuals are Prostitutes, on the meaning of this second Greek word in 1 Corinthians. And it's in the, this is...
Sorry, Pastor.
Go ahead.
Extant example means from more reliable manuscripts, is that...
Well, extant examples meaning you can't find in the literature examples of that construction in the literature that's relevant. Septuagint, the patristics, the early fathers, you know, the Jewish writings that are where you're trying to find that this word. This is a rare word. Nowhere else used in the New Testament except in these two accounts. So how do you get to it? Well, you're trying to look at where that word occurs or similar constructions where two words are put together. Well, the analysis right here is just saying Boswell depends on a certain construction, but all of the examples that you can actually find don't verify his way of reading it to get his idea of just a prostitute, a male prostitute.
Okay.
Thus, for this compound in Paul's letters, a male, the noun is masculine, beds a male. The sin is stated generally. Thus, all forms of male same-sex sex are in view and are included in the class of acts that are, in the larger context, sexually immoral. Any questions on that? See, what I've just done on the construction is just point out that you have a verbal idea, and it's a question of who's doing the action of that verbal idea. And it's not that the first word is the subject of the second, of the verbal idea. It's the object, and the subject is indicated by the ending of the word, which indicates the masculine. In other words, the person, the male, who beds a male, to be very literal. And so the construction is not going to, the construction favors homosexual. Then the obvious parallel with Leviticus indicates homosexual. From 1 Corinthians 5, we already noted how Paul roots his thinking about sexual sins in Leviticus 18. Specifically there in 5 was regarding incest. Now it is easy to see the roots of Leviticus 18:22 in the LXX, the Greek Old Testament. Here's the Greek Old Testament, a literal reading. You shall not bed with, the Hebrew has lay with, it uses the word bed by itself. You shall not bed with a man as a man beds sexually with a wife. Now the major difference between Leviticus 18 and Paul is the shift from a command to a person who disobeys the command. If you speak of a man who does what Leviticus forbids, then he's a male bedder. You just simply put those two ideas together in one word. So then he is a man who beds or lies in bed sexually with a man as a man lies in bed sexually with his wife. This is a command to a man that prohibits male same-sex sex. Leviticus 18 is the prohibition. This is the identification of the person. Now, it applies to a woman, mutatis mutandis, because all the commands of Leviticus 18 prohibit violations of marital intimacy, violated by incest, adultery, same-sex sex, and so forth. All right? It's brief, but it's... This is the kind of thing I was saying before. Maybe I'd put it in a footnote, but it's not exactly in the footnote, but it's pretty straightforward. Therefore, Paul's list in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 speaks generally to both participants in male homosexuality and can be translated men who assume the female role in sex and men who have sex with them. The two words now back to effeminate and the other word. Nail better, most literal. All right, any thoughts on that? This is to kind of finish the groundwork type of material, establishing. In one sense, we didn't have to work with this Corinthian material that closely. We've established the sin in other places, but this is part of the debate, and it does relate very. It's going to, once you work with 1 Corinthians 6:9, the spillover to application is immediate, and we just haven't been stressing that yet. So to me, it was very important that we just lay very clearly and precisely. Look at what the debate is. There are some. You know, there are always these. There in any subject, there are debated points, and obviously, if you have a certain disposition, a certain way, you're going to appeal to certain things. They will appeal to you because of your grid. Well, we're just trying to lay out the facts here about how to get at these difficult words, and now this text becomes a springboard it opens up. You start reading the context. And you'll see what I'm talking about as to implications, and then we've got to ask, how do we apply this to witness? How do we apply it in those who are claiming to be a part of the church and who practice these things, etc.? Obviously, those who practice these things, who claim to be a part of the church, follow the way of interpretation that we've labored some to refute. So, any other thoughts on this for now? I was debating on leaving this off until next year, but this is kind of a good place to kind of seal that foundation, and then next year we'll pick up when we have a gap here. I'll be doing some more reading. I'm still struggling with a lot of the application side of this as a pastor and a friend to people, and just how to, you know, I say, is it tough love? And you got the tough side of that. And in our culture, anything tough is intolerant. And then people have a victim. Everybody seems, all kinds of minority groups seem to have victim mentalities, like they're being victimized. And there is injustice. And the church does not carry itself like it ought to in so many respects with regard to people who are caught up in various sins, whatever it may be. So we'll wrestle with that more and extend our thoughts in that direction next year. All right, if that's... That's good enough. I hope clear enough. As clear as it can be, I guess, for what this is. And We'll leave it then there for